Hey, good evening, all. How are you? Welcome to Life Walk with Christ God. We are on the Trim Radio Network, and I'll tell you what, we have so many wonderful shows, new shows, everything going on. Boy, Dora's on her show. She's getting rolling and excited about that. And I'll just tell you, it's absolutely wonderful. Peter Kling's on, Maggie Kling's on. And we're trying to grow more and more and more. And if you're interested in doing a show on here on the Trim Radio Network, I'll tell you what, just get in contact with us. There's a team here. It's Raskella, it's myself, it's Stu, it's Victoria. And, the four of us, we've got this great thing going, and I owe it to them because I don't do a thing. All I do is just basically two shows on here, and then I'm blessed to do that. So I'm very excited to do that. They've got everything set up, but it'd be wonderful to have you. And we have such a wonderful platform. It's very easy to use, and I want to give people a chance to speak their minds, come on out, do things, and they want that. It's them. It's not me. It's them. I can't do anything without going to them. And so understand, come on over to Trim Radio Network. We'd love to have you. Anyway, tonight is Life Walk with Christ God. And going over a bunch of stuff is what we're going to go over tonight. And tonight, I want to jump into... we're going to actually jump into from Adam to Noah and kind of go back in Genesis, because there's some very interesting things. And God is very specific, as he is with everything. We know this. He made statutes, decrees, laws, covenants, and, covenants with everyone. So, his chosen ones, Moses, Noah, made a covenant with Adam, and he had everything in place. We as human beings broke them over and over and over and over again, and our loving God, our gracious God, grace and mercy, forgave us for those things over and over and over and over again. And the world is changing all the time. And it's spooky. We're seeing the changes right here at home in the United States. We're seeing these things happening that we never thought, especially when I grew up, I never thought there's never a possibility of. And they're happening right before our face. But I want to get in here. And let's see, I think we're on Noah 8 is what I'm going to believe what it is, but we're going to start with Genesis 6, and we're going to talk about the wickedness of the world. So I'm going to let you kind of listen in on this, even though I could read it. I got my new glasses. So, but here we go.
Genesis 6. When human beings began to increase in number on the earth and daughters were born to them, the sons of God saw that the daughters of humans were beautiful, and they married any of them they chose. Then the Lord said, "My spirit will not contend with humans forever, for they are mortal. Their days will be 120 years. The Nephilim were on the earth in those days, and also afterward, when the sons of God went to the daughters of humans and had children by them, they were...
Now, these sons of daughters, I want you to know, the sons of God went to the daughters of humans and had children by them. There is a lot of dispute on this, and actually I looked up a bunch of it because I wanted to make sure I had the right understanding too. But one of the things that I was finding is there is a bit of a debate on exactly who the Nephilim were. Were they the fallen angels that rebelled against God? Were they the watchers? We know they were giants. Very, very interested in that. But God was not happy that they were doing this. And if you listen in, it's going to talk about, and I'm going to read this myself a little bit. So the Nephilim were on the earth in those days, and also afterward. Notice he said afterward. So we're when we look at this, after what? After the flood. After, before the flood, after the flood, absolutely. So here we go. When the sons of God went to daughters of humans and had children by them, they were the heroes of old, men of renown. You know, they were well known. So heroes of old, exactly asking those questions of exactly what they were and everything else, they leave it right at that. One of the reasons that they leave it at that is they're okay, this is how we ended up in a situation here. It does have a relevance here, but we're going to leave it at that. We're not going to take away from the word taking away from God. The Lord, but there's some clues in here. The Lord saw how great the wickedness of the human race had become on the earth, and that every inclination of the thoughts of the human heart was only evil all the time. The Lord regretted that he had made human beings on earth. He's not saying, and if you listen, and the Bible is open to so many interpretations, the Lord regretted. The Lord regrets how we behaved, that we are evil and that we have free will because of the sins that we do. Because every inclination of us is evil. And he says it right there. God doesn't make mistakes. So it's, oh, I made this mistake and now I regret it. No, it's there is a meaning there. The Father does not make mistakes. He is perfect. We make the mistakes. That's the regret. Watching how we're behaving, watching how we're sinning, that's the regret because of our actions and how it's defiled his perfect world. Understand that. I mean, God made the seventh day holy, and he kicked back, and people are like, you know, he rested. You ever look back at something after you finish it and you just want to kind of kick back at it? Okay, there we are. We're back. All right, Victoria, I'm going to let you go.
All right, bye.
We are back, guys. I apologize for that. We got stuck in just kind of a nightmare thing going on here, and it's so now I have to go find everything all over again. And waiting for the phone to pick up everything has been kind of a nightmare for us. So let's get on here and there we go. We're back. I apologize for that. We've been having some really strange internet problems here, and it has kind of driven us, kind of crazy here for a little bit. Somebody had run over the internet box and drove off, and they demolished it. So it was one of those kind of deals that happened. Anyway, let's get back onto it. We were talking, and we were just talking about this, and we're talking about where it says God says that how great the wickedness of the human race had become, and that every thought, every inclination of every of the thoughts of the human heart was only evil all the time. So the Lord regretted that he had made human beings on earth. Listen to the phrase of what he says. The Lord regretted that he had made human beings on earth. Yeah, on earth. His world was perfect. And then he added man. And it wasn't that he made a mistake. It is our sins that he is regretting, how we're behaving, why we're here on his perfect world. So a lot of people are like, well, if God's perfect, then how come he regretted it? People can take, and they have this, the Bible has in a few different spots where people can mistranslate, they can misunderstand it, they can, it's open to so much interpretation, but God does not make mistakes, that it's out of context of what is really what he is, what was stated here. He had made human beings on earth, and his heart was deeply troubled. Well, yeah, because we're not supposed to sin. None of this was supposed to be to where we're sinning and we're troubling him. We're human beings. We're created in his image. The beautiful thing about that is that he loves us. We have free will, but we have used that free will and abused that trust. We have demolished that trust. Starting with Adam, starting with the man. I mean, Adam wasn't Adam until Genesis 3:20. So, and a lot of people don't know that. The woman wasn't Eve until after she had already been deceived, beguiled by the serpent. When they were getting kicked out, Adam named her Eve, the mother of all living things. People don't understand that. And they'll sit here and they'll be like, no, it was Adam and Eve. No, it was not. It was Adam and the woman. And going through it, there was no apple. It was fruit. I can't say this enough. It never says apple. It says fruit. But the interpretation and what people say, oh, well, it could have meant apple. It doesn't matter if it could have meant that. It doesn't say that. So I think what you're seeing there is the same thing that we're seeing here with what is being interpreted and how. Anyway, so God says, I will wipe from the face of the earth the human race I have created, and with them the animals, the birds, the creatures that move along the ground, for I regret I have made them. But Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. This is the account of Noah and his family. Noah was a righteous man, blameless among the people of his time, and he had walked faithfully with God. Noah had three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Now the earth was corrupt in God's sight. God saw how corrupt the earth had become, for all the people on the earth had corrupted their ways. So God said to Noah, I'm going to put an end to all people, for the earth is filled with violence because of them. I am surely going to destroy both them and the earth. So make yourself an ark of cypress wood. Make rooms in it. Coat it with pitch inside and out. This is how you are to build it. Noah is 500 years old right now at this point. This is how you are to build it. The ark is to be 300 cubit foots long, 50 cubits wide, and 30 cubits high. Make room for it, leaving below the roof for an opening, 1 cubit high all around. Put a door on the inside of the ark and make lower, middle, and upper decks. I am going to bring floodwaters on the earth to destroy all life under the heavens. Every creature that has the breath of life in it, everything on the earth will perish. But I will establish my covenant with you, and you will enter the ark, you and your sons and your wife and your sons' wives with you. You are to bring into the ark 2 of all living creatures, male and female. Keep them alive with you. 2 of every kind of bird, every kind of animal, every kind of creature that moves along the ground will come to you to be kept alive. You are to take every kind of food that is to be eaten and store it always as food for you and for them. Noah did everything that God had commanded. Now, I'm going to go back just a little bit, but you notice, here's another covenant for man. Noah is keeping his covenant, okay? We know this. Noah's a good man. God says he's a good man. We know this. So we're gonna go backwards here because I want to make a point to you. At the very beginning of Genesis, and I'm going to put this right here. And this was in the beginning, Genesis 1, okay? And I'm going to go on up, said there, and let's go. And God said, this is Genesis 1, we're at verse 6. And God said, let there be a vault between the waters to separate water from water. So God made the vault and separated the water under the vault from the water above. And it was so. God called the vault sky, and there was evening and there was morning on the second day. This has the interpretation that you have is people are saying, okay, the vault is the heavens. God keeps water there. God has storehouses for water, lightning, and everything. We know this because he says so. How do we know this? Because he says so in Job. But the water and the vault, one of the things that I am seeing about it that makes me wonder is we're finding that there is water. Scientists have found this, and we know this. And there's more water under the earth than above the earth. Way more. And here's the interesting place. And we know that God moved upon, what does it say earlier? But we know also that God moved upon, the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. Interesting right there. So now that we went to 6, let the water under the sky be gathered to one place, and let dry ground appear under the sky. So this is giving us a clue about there is a vault under the earth and a vault above the earth. And we're hearing that because we can see it here. Let the water under the sky be gathered to one place and let the dry ground appear and call the dry ground land. The reason that I'm saying this, let land produce vegetation, seed-bearing plants and trees, and let the land that bear fruit with seed in it according to this various kinds. And it was so. The land produced vegetation. But we know, okay, and plants bearing seed according to their kinds, trees bearing fruit with seed in it according to their kinds, and God saw that it was good. It happened. It happened right then. It happened. Let there be lights in the vault of the sky to separate the day from the night, and let them serve as signs to mark sacred times, days, years. Let them be the lights in the vault of the sky to give light on the earth. And it was so. God made two great lights, the lesser light and the greater light. Okay, so the interesting thing was, is that coming up now, and I want to show you this, and it's really, really interesting. God did not create rain yet to water the plants, yet they were created. And the interpretation I'm getting is from the springs below the vault, the upper vault, the lower vault. And now we're going to go right back to Noah here. And he has said this. And we're going to Noah 8. But God remembered Noah and all the wild animals and the livestock that were with him in this ark. I'm back one too far. Noah 7. And the Lord said to Noah, go into the ark, you and your whole family, because I have found you righteous in this generation. Take with you 7 pairs of every kind of clean animal, a male and its mate, and 1 pair of every kind of unclean animal, a male and its mate. And also 7 pairs of every kind of bird, male and female, to keep their various kind alive. 7 days from now, I will send rain on the earth, 40 days and 40 nights, and I will wipe from the face of the earth every living creature I have made. Now, Noah did this. Noah did all the Lord had commanded him. Noah was 600 years old. It took him 100 years to make the ark according to God's specifications. And the floodwaters came on the earth, and Noah and his sons and his wife and his sons' wives entered the ark to escape the waters of the flood. Pairs of clean and unclean animals, of birds, and of all creatures that move along the ground, male and female, came to Noah and entered the ark. God has said this multiple times all throughout the Bible. Male and female, he created them. So, you know, we're going to see this. So now it says in Genesis 7, verse 11, in the 600th year of Noah's life, on the 17th day of the second month, on that day, all the springs of the great deep burst forth. Now you're understanding why I went back to Genesis 1 and I was reading. The springs of the great deep burst forth. The water of the vault, under the vault of the water above the vault. We could see when God created the plants and the seed bearing and everything else, rain wasn't created yet. Genesis even explains that rain wasn't yet created yet. No one was able to till the ground and do anything, but they were watered. They were watered with the great deep. So now we're seeing here in Noah, which verifies that for us. You know, that's the one thing I love about the Bible. It reproves itself all through all the books, and it's just wonderful. And when you peel back all the layers, you're seeing more and more and more. And so when we do this, on that day, all the springs of the great deep burst forth, and the floodgates of the heaven were open, and rain fell on the earth 40 days and 40 nights. And on that very day, Noah and his sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, together with their wives and the wives of his 3 sons, entered the ark, and God shuts them in. We know this, right? So God shuts them in. So here we go. At this time, the ark is lifted high, and I'm kind of skipping ahead here. And we know God kept the floodwaters of the earth for 150 years. And we know that. I kind of skipped through Genesis 7 to Genesis 7, verse 24, the last part of the that chapter there. And the waters flooded the earth for 150 days. Genesis 8, But God remembered Noah and all the wild animals and the livestock that were with him in the ark. And he sent a wind over the earth, and the waters receded. Now the springs of the deep and the floodgates of the heaven had been closed. And the rain had stopped falling from the sky. The waters receded steadily from the earth. And at the end of 150 days, the water had gone down. And on the 17th day of the seventh month, the ark came to rest on the mountains of Ararat. The waters continued to recede until the 10th month. On the first day of the 10th month, the tops of the mountains became visible. After 40 days, Noah opened a window that he had made in the ark and sent out a raven, and it kept flying back and forth until the water had dried up from the earth. Then he sent out a dove to see if the water had receded from the surface of the ground. But the dove could find nowhere to perch because there was water all over the surface of the earth. So it returned to Noah in the ark. He reached out his hand and he took the dove and brought it back to himself in the ark. He waited seven more days and again sent out the dove from the ark. When the dove returned, there in its beak was a freshly plucked olive leaf. And we know in Revelations, we know in all the chapters, we know in the New Testament, wine, oil, you know, all these things, you know, unleavened bread, everything else. These things all have significant meaning. And we use them today. You get in an argument with somebody, you offer them an olive branch. It's just a holy of holy things that we do, that we're supposed to do. But they all have significant meaning. And you'll see these meanings throughout the Bible as they go along. And I'm going to point them out as we go through. After the dove had come back, then Noah knew. And you'll notice the dove too. I mean, when the Holy Spirit came down upon Christ as he was being baptized, he said, I watched the heavens open and the dove come down. The Holy Spirit come down like a dove upon him. So the significance and everything that we're going to see, there's so much to tie in. And there's so many levels of the Bible. You keep peeling back and peeling back and peeling back. And it's just amazing the different things that you will see every time that you read it and you experience it. And then you discover that, wow, this really is the greatest love story of all. And it's factual and true. So anyway, by the first day of the first month of Noah's 601st year, the water had dried up from the earth. Noah then removed the covering from the ark and saw the surface of the ground was dry. By the 27th day of the second month, the earth was completely dry. Then God said to Noah, come out of the ark, you and your wife and your sons and their wives, and bring out every kind of living creature that is with you, the birds, the animals, and all the creatures that move along the ground, so they can multiply in the earth, be fruitful, and increase in number on it. So Noah came out with his sons, his wife, his sons' wives, all the animals, all the creatures that move along the ground, all the birds, everything that moves on the ground came out of the ark, one kind after another. Then Noah built an altar to the Lord, taking some of the clean animals and clean birds. He sacrificed burnt offerings on it. Now, is this the first time that there were burnt offerings? Is this where we got burnt offerings and where it started? Well, the interesting part was, is with Cain and Abel, what was Cain? Cain was a tiller of the field. Abel was a tender of the, you know, tending the flocks, a tender of the flocks. Abel's gift to God was the fatling of the firstborn flocks. Cain made an offering too, but God didn't accept Cain's offering. He accepted Abel's. And of course, we got into why. You know, why are you downcast? Why are you angry about this? If you do good, you can expect good things to happen. If you don't do good, you put sin at the door. And if you follow through with it, sin will enter into your life, which we know now that it did. So as we're looking at this, we're seeing these things unfold. Was it burnt offerings that Abel gave? It didn't really say. It just said what the offering was to the Lord. But we know for sure here with Noah that it was a burnt offering. So the Lord smelled the pleasing aroma and said in his heart, never again will I curse the ground because of humans, even though every inclination of the human heart is evil from childhood, and never again will I destroy all living creatures as I have done. Well, that begs to ask, why would he say that? Because everything is already done. It's all perished. It's all dead, right? I mean, it's all gone. He doesn't have to worry about every inclination of the human heart is evil from childhood. And never again will I destroy all living creatures as I have done. The living creatures that caused the sin was us. So why would that need to be said? Well, it's real simple. Human hearts, even Noah, and even Noah's offspring, and other creatures. Of course, we know and we believe that the Watchers were here after the flood too. So, is there going to be evil back on the earth? Yeah, I think that it's a reasonable expectation to understand that. And people always challenge and say, no, it's not. This is where the Bible caves in upon itself from the Great Flood. But it doesn't. And we're going to find out right now why. And God says in verse 22, chapter 8, as long as the earth endures, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night will never cease. Now we get into chapter 9, God's covenant with Noah. Then God blessed Noah and his sons, saying to them, be fruitful and increase in number and fill the earth. The fear and dread of you will fall on all the beasts of the earth and on all the birds in the sky, on every creature that moves along the ground, on all the fish in the sea. They are given into your hands. It's our responsibility. Everything that lives and moves about will be food for you. Everything that lives and moves about will be food to you. Just as I gave you the green plants, I now give you everything. But you must not eat meat that has its lifeblood still in it. Very interesting why we're here, and I'm stopping right here just for a second. Why it still has its lifeblood in it. So if you go on out and you're a hunter and you shoot a deer and you have not drained the blood, and then you just start to cook it or roast it or a pig or something else and start to cook it and roast it, and it still has its lifeblood in it, it's sinful. And for your lifeblood, I will surely demand an accounting. I will demand an accounting for every animal. And from each human being, too, I will demand an accounting for the life of another human being. Whoever sheds human blood, by humans shall their blood be shed. For the image of God has God made mankind. As for you, be fruitful and increase in number, multiply on the earth and increase upon it. Now, the interesting thing is, too, we all know, and I could skip on here a little bit, The rainbow was the covenant, a covenant that God says, I'm making a covenant between you and I, a covenant between you and me. But the interesting part of the blood and why he's going to do an accounting is go forward. Now let's go way forward here, and we're going to get on up into Christ's time. And Christ, his blood being shed. And, of course, we have in John where it says on down, the water and the blood are all in agreement. And it's very interesting because the accounting is coming, is Christ coming again. There's an accounting to be had, and understand that. Christ came and bore our sins. And I don't think that people really understand the ramifications of that. But we took him out, and there was still lifeblood in him. So it's very interesting, but all this ties together. The cross references are amazing. Then God said to Noah and his sons with him, "Now I establish my covenant with you and with your descendants after you and with every living creature that was with you, the birds, the livestock, the animals." And you notice it's all inclusive. People have asked me, and I've given them my interpretation of this, that do dogs go to heaven? Do birds go to heaven? Do all the animals go to heaven? Yes. Why make a covenant with them if they don't? It'd be kind of a moot point, would it not? Why even save them? Why even build an ark to carry them? I mean, obviously we didn't need animals to survive. God gave us, as we saw in early Genesis, Genesis 1, seed-bearing plants, plants for meat, and he says it, for meat. Why save them? Well, it's simple. The earth is a living entity. The animals, the people, we all live together. We are all part of this giant root system. And the root is, the root and the tree is God. We are, it's all together. And that's just how it is. That's why he makes a covenant. I am making a covenant with you, your descendants, after you, and with every living creature that was with you, the birds, the livestock, and all the wild animals, all those that came out of the ark with you, every living creature on earth. I will establish my covenant with you. Never again will all life be destroyed by the waters of a flood. Never again will there be a flood to destroy the earth. God's promise. Rainbow isn't just for us, it's for everything. It's us, it's that, it's everything. And God said, "This is a sign of the covenant I am making between me and you and every living creature with you, a covenant for all generations to come." Every creature. And I think we miss that. We are so arrogant. We are so that we forget about the importance of the animals, the importance of everything going on. And he's very clear about it. I mean, just right on out there. And the rainbow, whenever I bring clouds over the earth and the rainbow appears in the clouds, I will remember my covenant between me and you and all living creatures of every kind. And he's every single time God is saying this, God is he's also including the creatures. And I think that's important to remember. We do have a responsibility to the entire world. This isn't just about mankind and humanity. This is about everything. So God said to Noah, "This is the sign of the covenant I established between me and all life on earth." Now, he didn't say me and you. Me and all life on earth. Again, restating it. Dun, 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 dun. So it's very interesting what we're seeing. And where does sin come back into the picture? We keep asking ourselves, where is this happening? Well, let's take a look at the first glimpse of it. Noah, a man of soil, proceeded to plant a vineyard. When he drank some of its wine, he became drunk and lay uncovered in his tent. Now, this is Genesis 9, and we're on verse 20, and we're going to keep going through. And now we're on verse 22. Ham, the father of Canaan, saw his father naked and told his two brothers outside. But Shem and Japheth took a garment and laid it across their shoulders when they walked backward and covered their father's naked body. Their faces were turned the other way so they would not see their father naked. They avoided what they knew was sinful. Because what does it do? It produces lust, everything, just everything, idolatry, everything. And of course, there it starts. There's a spark. There we go. When Noah awoke from his wine, and found out what his youngest son had done to him, he said, "Cursed be Canaan. The lowest of slaves will he be to his brothers." He also said, "Praise be to the Lord, the God of Shem. May Canaan be the slave of Shem. May God extend Japheth, Japheth's territory. May Japheth live in the tents of Shem. And may Canaan be the slave of Japheth." After the flood, Noah lived 350 years. Noah lived a total of 950 years, and then he died. He knew that it was wrong. And that, unfortunately, was the beginning again of what happened, which God knew, because he knew and he foresaw it again, thus reproving the Bible again. We have a knowing God that knows every single thing that's going to happen in our lives, every single detail, every single thing that's going to go on in our lives. And he can see it. We have to understand, we have to be able to put this into a perspective of God can already see tomorrow or next month, but he can also be back in the month before. He can be anywhere he wants to be and see 100 years from now, 1,000 years from now. All of this, the scriptures have to be fulfilled. He's outside time, space, and I'm sorry, my eyes itching here. He's outside time, space, and he doesn't need to be locked in anywhere. He can be anywhere at any given time, sitting with all of us, sitting with one of us, sitting as we're. Lucifer, Satan, cannot. He can only be one place at one time. And we know this. So it's very, time, space, and matter. But it's very, it's a hard concept for us to understand. We get what we call brain tagged, that we live in a world to where we can't understand that the boundaries that we're shown, the boundaries in which we live in, we have to put ourselves outside of. Spiritually, we have to move on from this world. We're supposed to be gaining and growing all the time. Paul's very specific about this stuff. He talks about it a little bit when he's talking about spiritual gifts in Corinthians 12. And it's very interesting if you start getting into it and going through Corinthians, it's very interesting. Even in Hebrews, he talks about this. Listen, when you were children, you thought like a child. You were a child, you thought like a child. But as you grow, then you start to take off those childly things. And he wants us to grow in spirit. He wants us to grow in mind. Well, we have to believe, and Christ has told us this too. Surely, if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you could tell this mountain to go and go over here, or this tree to go and go over there. There is nothing that we can't do. We are tagged in our mind that says that we can't do this. We have to keep evolving to try to keep getting better, to understand that what we are doing when we're following, walking in God's footsteps and everything else. And it's so interesting how that this goes all along. So many important things, so many things that you'll see walking with God. He walked with God. Enoch walked with God for 300 years, 350 years, or 365 years. God took him. we'll see the feet getting washed all the time, or references to the feet. It's, you know, we know this in Boaz. You put your sandal on up and you're getting this ground, with Naomi and with, my mind is slipping tonight, and I apologize for that. Sometimes I do this, but I get excited when I talk about it. But the sandal is showing a agreement. It's a land buying agreement. This is it. Here it is. This is my agreement here, and nobody else has claimed the land. I am taking the land, and we're moving on. So we'll see this when he talks about Moses. The ground which you are standing is holy. Take your sandals off. We know that. When you go into the inner chamber, and you're not to wear the clothes that you wore in there, especially if you do that in the God's temple, tabernacle, or anything else. No, you will leave those clothes out. This is the most holy place. We're going to see the significance of all these different things going through the Bible and going through and just reading, and it's just so wonderful. We'll kind of jump around here next week. We'll get into it. Maybe we'll talk about the tables of nations. It's important, I think, to talk about this, because as we go on, we're going to figure out another thing too. Where did all the languages come from? Where did everything change? Well, we know it's in Genesis. So we're going to start there. We'll catch back on up to that next week. I'm sorry we had so many different internet problems tonight. It's been kind of a crazy week with that. Plus, we have a bunch of solar flares being down south. We do get hit by them, but we'll try to get those things straightened out. Anyway, I'm going to leave you with this, is that especially in today's times with everything going on, I'm not a political person anymore. I just avoid it like the plague. But we're seeing things that are happening, and we're turning away in a lot of ways. It looked like after Charlie Kirk had lost his life, it was a great movement among people. Some people did it for trend. Some people did it because of love. Some people did it because of their pure love for God. And then we've got another thing that's trying to slip through, which tosses God under the bus, which is just, it's spooky. The battle that we deal with every day with Lucifer, Satan, whatever you want, the devil, whatever you want to call him, is just immense. It's in your sleep. It's in everything when you're awake. It's just every single thing that can cause fear, that can cause chaos, that could cause destruction, anger, hate, everything like that. He's always trying to find another way to take you down. And when you start to recognize, when you read God's word and you start to recognize these things and say, okay, how can I prepare for this? And of course, you can't do it by yourself. So we have to ask God, please help us, Lord. I can't do this by myself. And of course, we have to do that. We have to confess our sins. There's things that we are required to do. But that yoke is easy compared to the yoke that Satan tries to lay upon us. So as we're going through this, navigating this world, which is not our home, this is just a temporary place. We can't get attached to things that are in this world. We have to understand, okay, a lot of people have stuff all around. I do. You can look behind me. But I don't worship those things. They could be here today, gone tomorrow, and I don't care. They hold no meaning. Okay? It was just kind of cool. Maybe they're nice or whatever. I like to look at them. Maybe they bring up a nice memory or whatever. But you don't pray to them. You don't put them up, well, this will protect me for this or this or that. That's being idolizing. And I say this to my friends, great car. Yeah, I love my car. Well, no, you don't love your car. Your car is a piece of metal. Okay. It's a car. You love God. You love each other. you don't love your car. Okay. We all catch ourselves in those mistakes and we do this. And we all have slips of the tongue. If you don't think so, ask Moses. When he went ahead and split the rock to give water to the Israelites, to the tribes that were walking in the desert for 40 years because of their foolishness, their mistakes, their errors, he said, "Must I strike this rock to bring forth, to give you water?" Instead, he should have said, "Must I ask, must I pray to God to strike this rock, to give God the glory and the praise?" How many times do we do that? All the time. We have a jealous God, and that's okay. And we have a God that, listen, anger is a God-given emotion, and you do not want to incur his wrath. But we make these mistakes all the time. Why? Well, we're humans. We have every inclination in our heart to be evil. God says it. That is us. We're the ones that create the problems. It's not him. It's us. I thought it was pretty self-explanatory there in Genesis 6, 7. It's very clear. It's us. So let's remember that. Let's be good to each other. Say a prayer for each other. Say a prayer for our world, because we need it. We really do. We have a lot of things going on, and we can't focus on the things that are not going to further us along. And that's what we're doing. And when I mean further us along, I'm thinking of greater things, heavenly things. So we don't get caught up here. But anyway, I wish you much love. You guys take care. God bless. And we'll catch up next week, okay? Don't forget the rest of the good shows that are on the Trim Radio Network coming up. I know tonight is with Stu Scheer, Live, Laugh, or Whatever. And, of course, tomorrow night is Offsides, College Football's Top 25 Plus 5 with Kalen, or with John and Kalen, the host there. I'm just there to make jokes and have fun there. And then don't forget that afterward is Peter Kling's Revelations is coming on. So Pete's a great guy. I like Pete. Anyway, I hope you enjoy. You guys take care. God bless.